This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, what's a little friendly rivalry among Cincinnati's 52 neighborhoods? First up,
somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby.
The Wizard of Oz is coming to Covington. Later this month, the Carnegie is presenting a lightly staged production based on the classic 1939 MGM film. This will be the first production at the Carnegie that combines the work of the gallery, education, and theater departments. And joining us for a preview, our Carnegie Theater Director and Wizard of Oz choreographer, Maggie Perino, Wizard of Oz set designer, artist and educator, Pam Kravitz, and Kentucky Symphony Orchestra Music Director, J.R. Cassidy. You can be part of the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Pam, Maggie, and J.R., thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Maggie, why did the Carnegie decide to take on doing a stage production of The Wizard of Oz?
Sure. Well, so when I took over about a year ago at the Carnegie, I really wanted to bring in some more family programming with our giant education program going on, and really just sort of the vibe in Covington. There's lots of good, you know, family things to do, and we wanted to be part of that. So I thought, why not bring on, you know, one of the biggest family musicals there is, and we'll just have a magical experience at the Carnegie.
JR, how did the KSO get involved in this?
Well, I mean, it's the neighborly thing to do, to kind of work together with your other arts colleagues. And so we had done one of these kind of co-productions at a couple years ago with The Sound of Music. And so when Maggie called up and said, hey, how about The Wizard of Oz? I thought, you know, why not? That was kind of fun, you know, and it gives us a chance to kind of come and do something a little bit different.
Why do you think after more than 75 years, this is still such a captivating story?
Well, I mean, I think it's magical, you know, in terms of what it is. It's a dream, you know, and you know, that whole idea of somewhere over the rainbow. You know, that can be a many different things to many people, you know, and, you know, maybe the rainbow is heaven.
Yeah. Well, when you think about all those great sort of adventure stories that are out right now, you know, certainly the Star Wars buzz, right? But even all of the, you know, from the Hunger Games to the Divergent series, you know, it following young people who are like on a mission to, you know, change their lives and find themselves. I think that's something that kind of appeals to everybody. So that's definitely something that I thought our people will enjoy that.
I agree. Working on the production and hearing the music, it's so iconic, and from me, who's a little older, to my son, to my grandchild now, everyone has this love affair with Wizard of Oz, and we can all find a character or a time or a situation that speaks to us, and I feel like it is a forever production.
Pam, this is called lightly staged. What does that mean?
Well, it's really, really interesting. And I'm a visual artist, and that's how I was pulled in. I'm a huge fan of the Carnegie. And when I was asked to work on the set design, they said lightly staged. And I thought, lightly staged? You know, what does that exactly mean?
How do you do that with The Wizard of Oz?
Well, and The Wizard of Oz, and then me, who loves like Oonga Posh and too much, and there's never enough glitter. It's like, what exactly does lightly staged mean? And what it is the scene, the set never really moves. It doesn't change. Things come and go, but the set itself stays solid. So everything, all Kansas, to the poppy fields, to Oz, to the witch's castle, all has to kind of live together at the same time. It relies super duper heavily on the amazing KSO, and then the incredible musicians and the actors and the singers and the costumes really help make the scenes happen. And lightly staged means it sort of all lives at the same time.
Maggie, does this production follow the movie, same songs, or
it does.
Or some elements
absolutely, yeah. So we're actually doing what's called the Royal Shakespeare Company version. There are a couple versions out there for stage versions of The Wizard of Oz. And this one is actually taken directly off of the movie. So a lot of the dialogue is similar. Certainly all of the songs are the same. There are a couple of things they've thrown in just to update. There's a little bit of a joke the lion has that's definitely from the Lion King movie. And so when I first read the script again, I thought, oh my, that was not in the 1939 movie. But so they've updated with just a little tongue-in-cheek here and there, but overall, it is extremely like the movie.
Pam, I have to go back to what you're talking about with the stage. How do you accomplish the huge shift from the farm to Oz? I mean, that would have to be a big job.
Well, it really is. Because you want that magic and you want it to feel like you're changing worlds. You know, we never really leave Kansas, but you want that feeling that all of a sudden we're in the Emerald City. And then we also have to take in consideration that we have an incredible 16-piece orchestra sitting in the middle of Kansas and sitting in the middle of Oz. And so how do all of these parts work together and still create the magic that we're all so used to? And a lot of it is done with a very tongue-in-cheek, very playful, simply done. And our director, Matt Wilson, said it's not going to be that thing where you're like, oh, how did they do that? It's going to be much more, wow, okay, that was clever. I would have never thought to do that. So a lot of the set pieces are small, and our munchkins will move them. The witch will take pieces in and out. So all of that stuff changes within this one parameter of the stage always.
And we've really tried to base everything kind of in like elements of childhood. So while it's not going to look exactly like that movie you're used to seeing, right? It is a new production that is created based on Pam's aesthetic and things like that. But it's really based in kind of like pop-up books and toys. And so it's going to be such a like fun, joy-filled, I think, production when you come see it, because you'll be surprised how things happen. Oh, they did that with, you know, this kind of pop-up toy, or they did this with that kind of prop that was not quite what you expected, but it works, and it looks really fun and exciting. So there'll be surprises around every corner.
Right, like Glenda's bubble isn't a bubble.
It's not quite a bubble.
Okay, so I'm curious.
Yeah. It's a very cool sort of floating set of umbrellas that twirl and then suddenly break apart. Similarly, like Toto is like an old-fashioned pull toy, but he is pushed by one of the little munchkins, takes him around, and he's got, it's almost like a TV antenna that she can just pop it down, pick him up, put him right under, you know, her arm or into her basket, and then he comes right back out and they can push him around. So there are all these little toys and cool pop-ups and things that happen throughout the show.
So, JR, it'll be 16 of the KSO performers.
Actually, there's 17,
17.
Plus me.
More. Okay. Yeah, right.
Actually, on stage.
We're on stage. We're smack in the middle. Actually, the yellow brick road divides part of the band.
Mm-hmm.
So the musicians are on stage. In fact, they are actually part of the scenery in some ways, too, in the poppies and the stuff with the hats and things. But it's very interesting. But it is the full production.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. JR, for a lot of the musicians who watched this movie growing up, do they kind of feel like the music is an old friend? The songs are old friends.
Oh, shows like this are fun to play because they're familiar, because of the tunage. I mean, everybody knows, you know, If I Only Had a Brain or Somewhere Over the Rainbow or Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. But it's all the things that Herbert Stothart kind of wove them all together is just masterful.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Now, Maggie, how large is the cast?
Well, so we have about 20 folks in the cast, 8 of which are our munchkins. And so going back to the collaboration piece, we're really excited about half of our munchkins are out of our education program. So they are alums of either Camp Carnegie or our Art Stop classes. So that was a really great way to get the education department involved. We really put the auditions out through the education department. And we were excited to get to let some of those kids that we've been training kind of take that next step into their first sort of professional theater gig. And then we have 12 adults, four of which are ensemble, and then eight folks who make up our, you know, Dorothy, Tin Man, Scarecrow, that kind of stuff. The Royal Shakespeare version is actually really interesting because it does split some of the characters. So Aunt Em is Glinda, Uncle Henry is the guard at the Emerald City, and then, of course, all of those farmhands turn out to be our Lion, our Tin Man, and our Scarecrow, excuse me.
So you've got students from that were part of Camp Carnegie who'll be playing the part of the Munchkins. How is it working with the students?
It's fantastic. You know, you certainly, as adult theater artists, you know, we can get so caught up in, you know, this deadline and that needs to get done. And when you see the kids come in, you can't help but remember all the reasons you started doing this stuff in the first place. They're just so excited. Every moment is full of wonder and learning new things and discovery. And so it's really great to see them. And yeah, I think everybody in the cast feels sort of their energy and is feeding off of them. So it's been fantastic to have the kids.
Lots of laughs, lots of questions.
Yeah, lots of questions.
That has to be thrilling for these kids to be able to do
this. I think it really is. I think it's super fun for them.
When did you start preparing for this? How long ago did that start?
Well, conceptually, a long time ago.
Last summer.
Right. Pam and Matt, the director, and myself started meeting back in July for concept meetings. We knew that we were going to both honor the film while taking it in a sort of new or just slightly different perspective. So we really wanted to make sure that we thought it all out and we got it right. So we've been, 6 months we've been working on this. And then we just went into rehearsals just about 2.5 weeks ago. So.
Yeah, how do you handle the rehearsals with all the, you know, especially with folks who have day jobs?
Yeah, sure. Well, so we rehearse from 6:30 to 10:30 every night. It is action packed. It is fast and furious. We are staging and choreographing furiously, but we are going to be well on our way and ready to go come opening. Absolutely. So it's going to be fun.
Interesting thing for me too, coming from a visual arts world and not the performing arts world, is how everyone relies on each other, and there's this incredible symphony of humans that are working together to make this all happen in the same space. So Blue is constructing the stage while we're painting pieces on the floor while they're practicing in the back of the studio or back of the theater. So it's all happening at the same time, which is completely new for me and awe-inspiring. I go to theater, I go to the symphony. I had no idea what it took to create the magic that we walk into. We walk in and, you know, and we think, oh, that was amazing. That was great. Oh, yes, it was.
So this is the first time you've experienced something on this scale.
Absolutely. And the trust that they all have in me, I'm like,
Because
so
you're
flattered,
fantastic. But of course we do.
Well, and they have a great team working at the Carnegie, helping to make everything pop and be just right. But I think that's the thing, that coming into a performance and not really knowing 6 months in advance and working till 2 a.m. and redesign and replaying. And, you know, they did ask me to be Dorothy. I don't know if you were aware of that. I thought, you know, I didn't want to do everything. So we're letting this incredible.
How hard was it to cast Dorothy, actually?
Well, I think it was actually pretty hard.
Well, you know, you get a lot of people comes in.
Yeah,
auditions,
we had a lot of good choices.
And you have a lot of good choices. And then it's that, you know, you have to have a look. You have to have and you know, you look at her and say, is she really going to sell that?
Yeah.
You know, that whole idea of what Dorothy is.
Yeah. You need people to kind of fall in love with her from the first time she comes on.
Exactly. Because she's on stage the whole time.
Exactly. She never gets a break. We got really lucky. The young woman we have, her name is Caroline Chisholm. She's out of Wright State's musical theater program. And she just, from the moment she walks on, wide-eyed, you know, looking around, and you can't help but go, that is Dorothy. You know, she just, she really plays it well. She really fills, you know, that expectation, I think, when she walks out. She still makes it her own, but it's everything you want Dorothy to be. And she really, she's fantastic. People should come out and see her. She's quite a talent. So
we'll have more about The Wizard of Oz at the Carnegie, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Wizard of Oz is coming to the Carnegie in Covington later this month. And joining us for a preview are Carnegie Theater Director and Wizard of Oz choreographer Maggie Perino, Wizard of Oz set designer, artist, and educator Pam Kravitz, and Kentucky Symphony Orchestra Music Director J.R. Cassidy. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. J.R., do you have a favorite tune from Wizard of Oz?
Oh, geez. You know, they're all just fun. You know, of course, Over the Rainbow happens within the first 5 minutes of the show, which is odd because normally the big tune would come later in the show, but it's right there at the beginning, and it's one that's just, it's very iconic and something that, you know, won the Oscar for the best song and, you know, the film score and everything else. So it's great.
We're also including the Jitterbug number, which was cut from the movie originally. So it's in the stage show. So we'll also have the Jitterbug, which features a bunch of their munchkins, and they're also jitterbugs, but a bunch of our kids coming back out and dancing it out on stage. So that'll be fun, too.
513-419-7100 to join us, and let's talk with Mike in Clifton. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Years ago, I saw a community theater production of The Wizard of Oz that was based on the movie, and the scene changes were, it was astounding, the number of scene changes, and the orchestra played nonstop. It was physically very demanding. I mean, the stamina that it took to do it, do you think to yourself, oh my God, this is like crazy or something? Because I was really astounded. It just really was amazing. And the orchestra literally played nonstop for 2 hours. I never saw anything like it in my life.
Well, we're kind of used to that because we play movie scores. You know, we've done Pirates of the Caribbean or The Wizard of Oz. We've accompanied Judy Garland and Ray Bolger already with the film score.
Well, and yeah, it's definitely something where we think it's a sprint, or maybe a marathon, but either way, it's
a little
it's,
of both.
Right. It is fast and it is furious, and you got to go, go, go the whole time. We have sort of pared down the set because of the way we're doing it as a lightly staged production. So luckily for our set changes, there aren't giant pieces that need to be changed. I know for me as an audience member, sometimes when it's like, oh, this has been a 10-minute set change, and there are so many set changes that we want to make sure that didn't happen. So we really went through and thought about, you know, how can we pare it down, make it a slightly more streamlined set process, so that we wouldn't have to take those long times to change all the set, and we really action pack it with story. So those set changes go quickly, and we're right back out, and Dorothy is there again, off on her adventure. So it will be certainly fast paced and fun.
Maggie, how challenging is it to do a production based on a film that just about everyone has etched in their minds?
Absolutely, absolutely. Certainly, you could say maybe I'm crazy for picking it. Because, when people have those really set expectations of what it should be or what they like about it, it can be hard to deliver on that. So that was really something I think we talked a lot about, because we knew we didn't want it to look exactly like the movie, but we wanted it to feel like the movie. And I think we've done a really good job where you will sit in that theater and you will have all of the nostalgia and the warm fuzzies of watching that movie as a kid. And it might look different slightly, or that prop might happen in a different way, but ultimately you're going to have all the same wonderful nostalgic feelings, I think, about the movie when you watch the show.
I agree. Listening to the practices and the singing, when you close your eyes, no question, you are back at the MGM Oz. When you open your eyes, you're going to be in a and still with those warm fuzzies, still with that nostalgia and the iconicness, but you're in a little more of a contemporary world. The everybody's living together. It's but it's still, you're going to walk away and you're going to walk in and you know you're in Oz.
Whimsical, fun, full of childhood.
Yeah, I think the familiarity of the movie allows you to oh, that represents this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you'll be right at home.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
How much fun have you had doing this, JR?
Oh, it's always fun to do shows.
Mm-hmm. Especially something like this, though, I would think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, because it's something that's special to you, you know, and it's so upbeat and so fun, you know. So I think some of that, just the actual subject matter of the show, kind of trickles over into the cast and the staff anyway. You know, if you're doing a darker show, sometimes you have a slightly darker mood. But when you have maybe one of the most fun musicals there is to do, there's a lot of fun to be had.
Who doesn't smile with all this music?
Right.
Oh, exactly.
Exactly.
Maggie, what are the dates and times for the performances?
Sure. So we'll be doing shows from January 21st through the 31st. It basically runs Thursday to Sunday. The shows are Thursday evening, Friday evening, Saturday evening at 7:30. There's also a Saturday matinee at 2 o'clock, as well as a Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock. So that'll be both weekends. So 5 shows each weekend. You're welcome to call the box office, and we can hook you up with tickets. Or you can go to www.thecarnegie.com, and you can buy them online.
And we have a link to more information as well at wvxu.org. And Pam, Maggie, and JR, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Carnegie Theater director and Wizard of Oz choreographer Maggie Perino, Wizard of Oz set designer, artist, and educator Pam Kravitz, and Kentucky Symphony Orchestra music director J.R. Cassidy. Again, The Wizard of Oz, presented by the Carnegie and the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra, is going to run Thursdays through Sundays, January 21st through 31st. Up next, we'll hear about the Cincinnati Neighborhood Games. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.